Welcome back to Building a European Cultural Backbone. Our last talk for the day is done by Davide and Onur from Servostat.it, our local ISP located here at Stadtwerkstatt. The talk is called Challenging Workflows, a FLOSS Approach. Yeah.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, nice to be here. We actually thought this was more like a workshop situation, so we are a bit overwhelmed by the cameras and the streaming and the idea that our images reach the internet, but as we are usually working a lot with the internet, well, it's okay. I'm Davide, and I'm part of Servostat since a few years, and I'm actually taking care of the events and the cultural program of the association. And at the moment, we are very busy programming our next event, which is the Amor Festival. You don't see it very well here. Probably people in the live see it better. This is our new image. The festival is the 15th till the 18th of June. Onur, do you want to add something?
Just my own introduction.
Perfect.
I'm Onur. I'm one of the sysadmins here at Servostat. My day-to-day work is mostly about the infrastructure in the house and in our data center for our members. But at the same time, I contribute to the cultural program with my input, just trying to find this gap between technology and the cultural side of creative production, let's say.
That's why we think that we like to think this two kind of souls of Servus as the fundamental core. Like, we do organize, like maintain and work with machines and servers, but also they become also the topic of the discussions that we are trying to bring further, and also the place where we play with them. And so I collected here a couple of images of AMRO. In case you haven't heard about this, please check it out. The website is art-meet.radical-openness.org or radical-openness.org. You will find information. There is some performances. There will be some talks. It's about tech criticism. We all know what this is about. Those are past editions of the festival. And this was an image from last year, which was online. And this was the exhibition, the entry page to the exhibition, a very nice broken page that you can't reach. In reality, it was full of things, and it was a virtual space and a virtual journey. And this is how people mostly saw it from home, very nicely with their computers. So we use also our own infrastructure as a place to produce and discourse and place art. This is the current, used to be the last project, now the last project is AMRO. This is the Nextcloud Atelier House. We try to place artists within our cloud and have them producing art and exchanging it with open source principles and collaboratively together. And this is maybe an example for the approach that we have also with our machines. And maybe a last thing in the general introduction before we actually go into the topic is one of the last projects we did last year was the so-called Book of Servus, which was an attempt, the classic big attempt, you can see some copies here of this, to summarize everything that we do here, the list of tools and the list of instructions. And Honor, maybe you want to say a couple of words about this.
Of course, it's the classic tale of documentation that, you know, by the time that it gets published, it's already obsolete because of how tech develops. So it's kind of a hybrid approach. So we call it Book of Servus, but the actual up-to-date full content is online. And we try to keep that up-to-date as much as possible, as much as any group of individuals who are in tech can keep up with documentation. But this here is a kind of a representation, kind of a demo into where users should go for help, and mostly as an introduction of what we have. It's like a catalog, so to speak. It's an ongoing thing, just like all the other documentation projects.
Yeah, and as this is basically the starting point of our presentation today. We are building a workshop So this, we have been discussing a lot about the topics of how bring people, or like offer the choice to art practitioners and associations and people in general to choose for specific tools, which we all in the community support and maintain, which are based on security, privacy, and maybe some different ideas behind the technological stack that the major mainstream proprietary software stacks are. And from this, we are actually trying to bring it to a workshop in which we really go into conversations and we really try to map and alterate the workflow of people. And in the workshop, we will have two parts. And the first one will be the one from Onur, who...
This is mostly a beginner-oriented workshop. At least we kind of try to prepare it that way, trying to encompass even the people who have heard about how horrible WhatsApp or Facebook is on the news, and that's their entry point. But you know, they're interested enough to sit with us and try to see how they can challenge their own workflows, and mostly to approach it from an artistic, cultural worker perspective to talk about what's common in this space and find ways to show what's possible as an alternative that we politically align with. And the main focus there would be that then we have as usual, the fighting the convenience factor is a very important thing that we have to take into consideration, because we're challenging the already structured flows that not always are based on people's personal preferences, but might have to do with their team that they're working with as well. And we're talking about workflows in terms of tech tools, of course, mostly internet-related, cloud-related software that people usually depend on. And so in the first part, the idea is that we have a challenge and a kind of a destructive way of bringing down the convenient bubble that the user, so to speak, has about what they do on a day-to-day business. And I tackle this from a point of view of like trying to talk about the very basics of how the internet works, what your ISP knows about you, what does it mean that what does encryption mean in terms of data itself, and to show what the weaknesses are. So like how exposed you are as a user if you're not really taking care and you're just using whatever is given to you without, you know, going into the, clicking the gears button and like going into your settings. And that's the kind of the destructive part of it. To show, like highlight the horrible practices of GAFAMs maybe today, horribly. And like talk about, you know, dark patterns, data collection, surveillance that happens over these things, and talk about the dependencies that we build as users that we don't really recognize how conveniently dependent we become on these tools. And then comes, after this destruction, of course, the dust settles, and then we talk about the new hope of, like, you know, the motivation of Floss and self-hosting communities. So then we bring up all these different communities that actually do amazing things with very little amount of people, with a lot of hard work, and to illustrate how you can be part of these communities, even if you're just a lurker, so to speak, that you're just following what's happening in the community and how easy it is to access what these communities are offering. And even if you want to contribute or you're questioning how you can do something, how helpful these communities end up being. And then also the possibilities and flexibility that these tools offer, and these communities offer, because there is unfortunately still this image of, you know, Linux image of free and open source software as the buggy, ugly looking tool that is supposedly the alternative to their usual workflow from the big tech companies, and they're not really an alternative. And this kind of image needs to be broken, because we need to be more vocal about it and just show that these are viable options. Now we have viable options, alternatives that are growing even at a faster pace that, you know, the big tech is now trying to catch up by open sourcing their own stacks and trying to look more sympathetic and trying to make other people do their work. So like to find a way to illustrate like what's possible and what's even better than these commercial tools that they're using, what these possibilities include in this wide range of things. Then also take I play the devil's advocate and talk about have a realistic overview of what self-hosting also suggests in terms of maintenance, downtime, accessibility, and in terms of data, most of the time, data migration, because the idea of ownership and data usually on the average user's perspective has nothing to do with those sorts of responsibilities, right? So they don't think about downtime, they don't think about maintenance, they don't understand that an update breaks things in the cloud. The cloud just works, or it's available whenever they need to access it. So there is that aspect to it that we also need to consider. We also have the chance to bring up the topic about what free means, because in terms of free as in free beer, that usually doesn't automatically click with people who are coming into these communities, because they just assume that once they run it, it's just going to be there forever and always secure and always up to date and everything will be fine. But to be perfectly honest, it takes you time. You pay with your time to keep these things up and running for your own sake, which has its a lot of benefits, but maybe as a single person, you are not capable of keeping up with all of your self-hosted tools that you would like to have. And this is where even more communities come in, communities such as Servos, that then you can reconsider this idea of free software or free services, and then you maybe consider contributing to that community with your own time, or by contributing by becoming a member and paying a fee that in return gives you the peace of mind that you know where your mails are physically stored is right over there, like 50 meters away from us. So there we also have this angle that we can bring in our role as also cultural workers at the same time. And this is mostly like building, like just making sure that we can destroy all the commonplace, very bona fide structures, and once this dust is settled, show at the very hopeful horizon. And then from there, of course, this second part comes where Davide also builds up the conceptual framework of why these matter and how these decisions are to be made, and also talk about how there is no one solution to all of these questions, to all of these problems, but maybe there could be one framework that's designed that could fit all the questions.
Yeah, I think like one of the I think this is for me the basic. I think it's always good to repeat and to give a fresh overview to anybody. What is the current state of the art of the tech industry also? Because this is where the people we are trying to talk to are actually located in the moment. So if one wants to convince any person or any organization into shifting their own workflow or their own practice, then you have to kind of know what's on the other side from the supposed benefits, but also the challenges that this will offer. So it's always good to remember that this is not, as you were saying before, onward, this is not like the 90s where it's really like the software stacks are really different, were really different than nowadays. But yeah, one of the things that for me it's very opens a lot of space for discussion is the idea of dependencies, not in this case not on a technological layer, but on the personal and group wise, because through this you might be able to address what is the real problem of the in the house. So I don't, like, we all know that most of the people out there, they know that you know, what surveillance capitalism is, what are the logics behind the proprietary and corporate software stacks and the clouds that are available there for free. People are is not stupid in the end. It's just that they are tied, they are actually tied in a really complex system of dependencies and old habits and patterns of work, and also the hassle of having to change system. And this is probably the reason for which, you know, you keep on working with the same old patterns, because it's not great. You know, you feel bad. It's a moment in which the more you're aware of this, the more you're aware that that piece of software is not really to support, but hey, you have been working with this for 10 years, how can you change it? And then there are so many organizations out there that, especially in pandemic times, they had to switch, they had to decide, they had to, like, the importance of trying to talk and bring further their own messages regarding the tool, choice, like not any given message. No, when there is a lockdown, people had to choose what to do to keep on working or to keep on bringing their messages, maybe their cultural, maybe activist messages or action. So in these very stressy moments is where the easiness of the interface, the easiness of the mainstream corporation hits in, because you are weaker, you know, and you don't have the whole ideological backup that says, hey, I actually don't like this kind of pattern. I don't like the culture of visibility that some mainstream social network brings. I don't like this and that. You're stuck at home. What do you do? So, and back in the days, like 2 years ago, when we were doing AMRO, everybody faced this idea of, hey, what do we do to keep in touch with the other? And then many made the choice in that moment. And many stayed with that choice, because once a choice is made, for any given reason, it's really difficult to untangle it and to bring it to another level. So this is somehow the context in which we're moving, and this is what we are trying to do. So in the workshop, after the, how to say, plow in the ground, maybe, with a classic, hey, let's remember what are the problems now, and actually let's refresh. What is the current status of the problems with specific software? One of my favorite hobbies is to talk to owners and ask him, hey, is this platform okay? Because I'm kind of lost. And you need to have a person who helps you as well. It's impossible to have all the knowledge of it by yourself. If you don't daily engage with the discourse, and you, as you do, so not everybody can have a system admin on the side on a daily basis, so which is a very nice feeling anyway. But yeah, so it's about that. We have to refresh what is the current status, because some companies might have fallen down, of course, it happens a lot. Some others might be trying different tricks, so it's good to refresh these ideas. And then the core of the workshop, or the second part of the workshop, is to think about the technologies and all the different layers and the methods that are using in a situated moment. Like, look around yourself, what are the pieces of technologies you have around, what are they connected to, how are these actually connected to other services, like some services on or some servers online which rely and connect, and then finally, how do you find a sort of a weak spot where you find yourself very connected to, very, very tied to one of these softwares or services, that you can eventually start scratching the surface, and you can start disengaging with what is the current habit. So once you start with a tiny habit, maybe the easiest is to start with the let's say I'm a worker, I'm doing culture, and to keep in touch with my group of people, we use a specific software or a specific, I don't know, a Google Drive, for example, no? And within this whole suit, there might be one of the applications that is not really successful within our group. So that might be also a nice place where to start disengaging with that. Because there is less resistance, in a way, to a new way of working. So I think from this, to map your own wider habits and tools and the ways that you maybe archive and engage with all the infrastructure in the office, let's say, it's basically a slow but regular practice. And then ideally this goes into, this helps to disengage with the whole logic of the swipe logic of other programs that are brought further.
Yeah, you also, like from the moment that we've been starting to design and think about what we're going to say, you were also mentioning a lot about the sustainability in two different senses, and also the dependencies not just from our own habits, but also like the circles that we have from friends, coworkers, a freelance job that you're doing on the side, or your university group that just like sucks you into an ecosystem. Maybe, I don't know if you want to elaborate a bit also on that, how you want to introduce that, or if just mentioning these keywords is enough for you, then we can open it up to a discussion.
I think, in general, I think it's fine to drop this. There are different system of values, but then the idea of sustainability is not directly related to the environment also with that, but the idea that maybe less data flows is less impactant, but also realizing there more the social and personal sustainability of ways to do things, because it's not sustainable in a way to claim a hard cut, because this is worrying people, this is not convincing, this doesn't go anywhere. So it's always necessary to find a more subtle, more encouraging, more welcoming approach to especially to these things, because people feel overwhelmed very quickly and feel without any ground underneath their fees, because once you take them out of their habits, they are not comfortable. So it's about making this as comfortable as possible in this process. Yeah, so I think we are happy to close it for now, because we don't have many more plans for the workshop. But if you, we are very open for questions and discussions and hints. I mean, everybody here in the room and online, they are like, probably they have been doing the same things for a certain amount of years, talking with people, convincing them to use different tools or other tools.
Especially because, like, since Monday, there's been a lot of conversation going on from different ways to approach the topic of like building the European cultural backbone, a European cultural backbone, and you know, so many people from different aspects and different levels of these stacks have been contributing, talking about finding ways to find different protocols, different standards, and find ways to work together on bigger organizational levels, all the way down to the user experience of how you end up using those data sets or APIs or whatever. So there's a lot of, I think, overlap between what's been going on as a conversation here at the hackathon and what we plan to do. Maybe we do it on a more micro level, just going directly to the end user and trying to talk about different habits and different things, but we're pretty sure that your any input that you have thinking about this idea of, you know, bringing this to the beginner audience, to the newer audiences, or like finding ways to strip this down and approach it or tackle it, we're open to any feedback that you have, or any questions or contributions. Very welcome.
Opinions? Comments? Are there some comments on the internet? I don't know. Like, I'm sure there are many comments. Hopefully. Yeah, maybe to wrap it up, so that the structure of the workshop is to start with the destructive part, and then we go more into these dependencies and logic of the single choice. When does the choice happen? How can we actually make the panorama as wide as possible, so that a person can choose, hopefully wisely?
Yeah, you know, like the old school salesman that just knocks on the door with the catalog, and we have the catalog. We literally have a catalog, and you know, we know what they need. We know what they need to stop using and what will help them, and it's promise it's not a pyramid scheme.
Oh, yes.
we really promise that it's not a pyramid scheme. If there's no internet contributions either, so then I guess we can wrap it up. We're very happy that you know, we had the chance to pitch this idea and have a chance to talk about our own our own practices and work, what we do here. So please tune in for more.
Thank you.